Yeah, it looks like they're already starting to shadow ban this podcast on iTunes. Looks like it's not getting many new subscribers. I don't know what to tell you guys. I don't know what to say. I'm actually really sad at how my life has gone over the last few years. And I think less of this country. I think less of this country as the result of being a victim of mass censorship, right? Intentional censorship of my media startup and of my own views, right? I'm banned for life from posting on Twitter under my own name. I'm banned for life from posting videos to YouTube, which as a career YouTuber and as a video journalist makes life very difficult, especially when they were posting all these attacks, all these made up attacks about me on YouTube for months after I was banned and couldn't reply. And this just isn't fun. You know, the other day I had to tell my assistant, that I can't pay her anymore and she's got to find something else. Not just the assistant, but the person who's been running a lot of fulcrum for you guys. And we just can't continue because there's no support for the truth. For whatever reason, so many of you just want an unlimited amount of QAnon nonsense, right? You want an unlimited amount of lies, and you don't want the truth from DC. And with no support, we can't really continue. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart what this country has turned into. A place that censors its own journalists. That's what America has turned into, a place that censors journalists, a place that allows John Podesta to not be investigated in 3 years. Right? Credible pedivore, folks, not just a suspected pedophile, a credible pedivore. If you go into your own past, how many business mentors or former teachers or former bosses or anything like that were completely obsessed with human cannibalism? Well, if you're a normal person, probably none. Probably none of your mentors and none of your advisors are obsessed with human cannibalism. Well, not John Podesta, not DC lobbyist John Podesta, close friends with George Soros and Lynn Rothschild, the two wealthiest people in the West, and some of the most politically active people here in DC. John Podesta had paintings hanging in his office of people on a table and other people eating them, right? A guy on a table and people around him with forks and knives eating him. And John Podesta has been quoted before as saying it's better to be the one with the fork and knife than the one on the table. And again, to have that artwork hanging at his office, and then you go into all of the pedophile allegations, which are completely credible. Has been credible from day one. I was mocked and deplatformed for almost 3 years. And it makes you wonder how sick are these people at BuzzFeed. At BuzzFeed and the Daily Beast, which has Chelsea Clinton on the board of directors of the company that owns it. Right? The company that owns the Daily Beast, wholly owns it, is IAC. IAC, an internet conglomerate based in New York. Chelsea Clinton serves on their board of directors, and their chairman, Barry Diller. Barry Diller is a very, very, very close Clinton friend, extremely close with the Clintons. So the Daily Beast is essentially their attack vehicle. Whenever these claims about pedophile stuff come up, the Daily Beast is their attack vehicle. And they attacked me as a crazy person. They tried to rebrand Pizzagate as the crazy belief that Hillary Clinton slaughters children for some reason in broad daylight, that she slaughters children in the basement of a pizza shop here in Washington, D.C. They turned Pizzagate into that ridiculous claim. And then they said, guess what? There's no basement there at that random pizza shop. There's no basement. So therefore, she probably doesn't slaughter kids at this pizza shop if there's no basement there. Okay, that's weird. First of all, that's not Pizzagate. Second of all, that justification that she's a good person because she doesn't slaughter kids at a pizza shop. Okay, wow, what a pretzel you fucks have tied yourselves into. Don't look into those Pizzagate emails because there's not a basement in a random pizza shop. Oh, okay, doesn't really make sense. I'm going to keep reading the emails. Thanks anyways, though. So Pizzagate was actually the claim that in John Podesta's WikiLeaks, the word pizza was used hundreds of times, and it was used in some kind of code language, right? Because they're not ordering actual pizza, and they're not talking about pizza from actual restaurants. So what are they talking about? How do you have a pizza for an hour? And related terms like walnut sauce. How do you go walnut saucing? Why are some of the most busy and important people in the world, right? Incredibly busy people. Why are they personally emailing John Podesta at his off-the-record Gmail address? Why are they personally emailing him and hitting him up for walnut sauce recipes? And how do these people go walnut saucing? Hey, do you want to go walnut saucing? First of all, I want to know what that is. Before you invite me out walnut saucing, I want to know what it is. And when you type in walnut sauce, Fulcrum News, when you type in that search into your favorite search engine, hopefully some of our articles will still come up, because we have done the heavy lifting on this sad topic, these sad people who took over the West, gradually took over the West. And what are these people? These people are literally satanic. They have censored me for the last 3 years, almost to the point of non-existence, right? To the point that my income as a person who's turning 34 is so low that I can't keep my long-term business partner and assistant, can't keep my associate, because there's so little money coming in, because people think I'm crazy for having done my job as a journalist and read these WikiLeaks. You know, Julian Assange is rotting right now in solitary confinement. And my main issue with that, I'm not some tree hugger, not some hippie. My main issue with that is he's not even an American citizen. So if your whole claim against Assange is, oh, it was very disloyal that he was trying to find dirt on the Clintons and on the DNC, and way back when he was getting dirt on the military from Chelsea Manning or Bradley Manning back when it called itself that, when it called itself Bradley, whatever he or she calls itself. I'm trying to be respectful, not trying to be a jerk. I just honestly don't know. How do these people like to be referred to? Back when Bradley Manning was a self-described man, Bradley Manning was in contact with Julian Assange. And that conversation is the basis. That's the basis for why Assange is rotting right now in solitary confinement in the United Kingdom's Belmarsh prison. Not a pleasant place. Not a nice place to be locked up alone 23 hours a day. And Julian Assange has kids. For people who don't know that, he has kids he hasn't seen in years. He has a family. And that conversation he had 9 years ago, which is, again, what caused the DOJ to indict him, which triggered him being pulled out of the embassy in the UK, right? They did all that stuff for the United States. The UK pulled him out of that embassy, and they have him in lockup in that Belmarsh prison because the United States triggered this process against him. And it's based on a 9-year-old conversation where Assange was hitting up Bradley Manning for more documents, right? Trying to get him to send more documents. And if you can't do that as a journalist or as a researcher on the internet, if you can't say to your sources, send me more stuff, then not only is journalism dead, real journalism, I'm not talking about the idiots on CNN, not only is real journalism dead, if we allow that prosecution of Assange to continue, but free speech on the internet for everybody is completely dead. If you contact somebody and you ask them for a file that the Chinese government or the American government later finds to be objectionable, they can throw you in solitary confinement. And the precedent is Assange. Hey, they did it to Assange, and he was famous, and he had money, and he had some of the best civil rights and free speech journalists, lawyers on the planet. And they ruined his life. So wait and see what they do to you, right? That is the end of free speech, the end of dissent on the internet, if he's allowed to be destroyed over nothing. And the kicker again, is that he's not even American. So if your issue is that it's kind of disloyal that he's digging up dirt on the military and on the despicable Clintons and the DNC and all that, If that's your issue, he's not American. He's Australian, right? It's like if I write some negative article about China, am I being disloyal, contrary to what LeBron James might think? Am I being disloyal? Well, no, I'm not a Chinese citizen. I've never been there. I don't speak Chinese. I don't like their food that much. I find it to be kind of salty and repetitive. Hey, if I criticize them, it's not disloyal at all. And so that's a big issue. And I've been silenced for talking about what those emails actually revealed. So why destroy Julian Assange over a 9-year-old conversation? Aren't there more pressing things? Well, Assange's emails outed the pedivore. He outed the pedivore. This man, John Podesta, who ran Hillary's campaign in 2016 and dug up most of the dirt against the Trump family in that process. And before that, he was Bill Clinton's White House chief of staff. Right when Bill Clinton was shaming his rape victims in the 90s into silence, when he was shaming his very real rape victims, John Podesta was right there in the White House, right at his side. And again, as per his own emails, John Podesta, since at least 2007, has been close with George Soros. Yet another thing that has been made out to be some kind of conspiracy theory or some kind of grim fairy tale. It's actually completely real. When you read those emails, it does seem like John Podesta and Hillary Clinton, for that matter, are catering to a handful of families more than almost anybody else on the planet. And in the Clinton emails on WikiLeaks, her personal schedule was leaked, right? Her personal calendar was leaked. And you can see personal visits and dinners and schedulings with the Rockefellers and with George Soros and with Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, right? Not a weird conspiracy theory when those are the people actually filling up her personal calendar. And I don't want to go too deep in this episode, but again, I'm not happy with how I've been deplatformed and de-incomed. What kind of country does this? Where's my free speech protection? Where is my First Amendment protection? What Google has done to me is disgusting. Right? Take away 170,000 subscribers. I was making enough money that I could do my journalism for you guys till the end of time. Right? I was getting by with my own audience. Isn't that the dream? Isn't that the American dream, that you build up an audience after a lifetime of hard work? That you don't have to work for corporate media? You can do it yourself. You can put out content when you want, and your audience could just view it and interact with you. Isn't that kind of the dream that I broke free from corporate media? Well, the American dream's dead. You start reading John Podesta's WikiLeaks emails, and they put your YouTube account in solitary confinement. What was done to me was pretty despicable. And I'm certainly not the only one, but I could only speak from experience. And to take away a man's income in his 30s, just because I called out a fucking suspected pedophile, is pretty un-American behavior. It's un-American of Google. And of course, Google's founder, Sergey Brin, his co-founder of Google, rather, Sergey Brin, was partying with Jeffrey Epstein years after Epstein was first convicted. So what business does the co-founder of Google have with a convicted pedophile? Right, knowing that he's already been convicted first time around, knowing what he is, what business does the co-founder of Google have with such a sick person? And is that why I received the treatment I did from Google and YouTube, from them sending me a letter congratulating me on the success of my channel, to being banned and completely memory-holed? When you search for me now on Google, it's the soccer player who shares my name, who's been retired for 20 fucking years. Incredible. The guy's been retired literally for 2 decades, and I put out content every day and used to have a huge column on Huffington Post, and this guy pops up ahead of me. So they tried to do me in, not only what I just mentioned, not only the memory holing, but getting a lawyer here in DC who never disclosed to me that he used to do legal work for Bill Clinton, for William Jefferson Clinton. Now, what are the odds that I'm going to get a fair shake from a guy who used to work for the boss of the person that I helped credibly out as a pedophile? And again, not just the pedophile, I believe John Podesta and millions of others on the internet who have read those sick WikiLeaks believe John Podesta may in fact be a pedivore, a person who eats kids like something out of a sad fairy tale. Read the emails for yourself. What is walnut sauce? What is pizza in the context of there never being any actual pizza? So what is it all about? You should watch the documentary for yourself. The documentary that Google tried to memory hole was a complete failure on their part. They completely failed because we uploaded a copy of that documentary to BitChute. BitChute, which is censorship resistant, arguably censorship proof, right? It uploads or it starts a seed on BitTorrent and serves your video from there. But it looks very professional and it's easy to use. If you go to BitChute.com, BitChute.com/FulcrumNews, go there and click on the most viewed video. 238,000 views so far, right? Nearly a quarter of a million views. And that's the backup. That's the mirror of the 8-minute legally vetted, factual, and based only on the real WikiLeaks emails, based only on the confirmed leaked emails of John Podesta and some of his associates who were emailing back and forth with him. It's based only on that, just facts, not my opinions, not my crazy theories. I don't think I have crazy theories. These are just facts, right? So that's been viewed a quarter of a million times, and it's not going away. And sooner or later, it doesn't matter how much money John Podesta has. It doesn't matter that he's dinner buddies with very wealthy George Soros. We want answers on this stuff. We want answers. Why was a suspected pedivore kept free for 3 years? And why was every single one of his critics, including me, including Roger Stone, including Alex Jones, why were we all deplatformed? Why were we all targeted for calling out the pedivore? Right? One of Roger Stone's last tweets from his verified Twitter account before he was banned was calling out John Podesta as a pedophile by name. Calling out Podesta as a pedophile. Think about it, folks. Reach your own conclusions. And I'm not some crazy right winger. Former Huffington Post. God bless.